Now, remember that you could also argue here that Sinn Féin standing up for some unionists who were equally as outraged at Arlene Foster's role in the RHI process. And Sinn Féin are not dictating who the leader of the DUP is. That's clear. They say that they're not dictating that. But they are saying that a red line for them is that they will not go in to government with the DUP if Arlene Foster is leader while the RHI inquiry is continuing. Should the DUP respond equally with a list of demands as to who is appropriate from Sinn Féin to be in government? Is that an appropriate response from the DUP or not? Mark in Whitehead. Morning, Mark.
Morning, Stephen.
What do you think?
With regard to whether Sinn Féin have the right to ask Arlene Foster to stand down, if they're saying that they're speaking for, you know, a million taxpayers in Northern Ireland who are being hit by the RHI scandal, then you could say they do have some kind of mandate, for want of a better word. Something that I would throw into the mix, though, is have they ever looked at the cost to the taxpayer over the last 25 years of the whole conflict, the whole IRA involvement? You know, if you were to isolate what was the cost to the taxpayer of IRA, you know, I would imagine the RHI scandal would pale into insignificance.
And some people would argue two wrongs don't make a right, Mark.
Yeah, which is happening again now. It's true. You, each of the parties, DUP and Sinn Féin, have backed themselves into a corner where they can't get out of without losing face. Right? If there is part of the First Minister's role which would have an influence on the inquiry, then Arlene Foster should hold her hand up and say, I will not be involved at all with any of those committees or any of that inquiry.
But of course there's an independent judge overseeing the public inquiry.
Right, but if there's a reason for Arlene Foster stepping down, then she should step down. But Sinn Féin should show the reason. And just to say, yeah, to restore confidence isn't a strong enough reason. I think they need to show it. And if there is a good reason, by all means, Arlene Foster should step down.
It's such an interesting dilemma, isn't it? Which is why there's a really fascinating conversation needs to happen this morning on this radio programme. You could argue that, look, for the good of Northern Ireland, if that is a Sinn Féin demand, that you could argue that maybe what the DUP should do is allow Arlene Foster to step aside and it gets government up and going again. Now, people like Jim Allister, of course, would argue that that's not good for Northern Ireland government up and going again. Here, devolved government. But on the counter to that, there may be some people within the unionist community saying, hold on one second. If Arlene Foster actually buckles now, if the DUP buckles now to this, and Conor Murphy used it a number of times this morning, this demand from Sinn Féin as to who the unionist leader would be in that big office in government, and yet Sinn Féin aren't being dictated to as to who their candidate will be in that joint office, does that weaken the unionist community in Northern Ireland?
You know what might be an interesting thing to ask, Stephen? Could Sinn Féin and anybody supporting the case of Arlene standing down, would they be willing to not mention anything, so there'd be no triumphalism, no, yes, we told her to stand down, it's right that she stood down, she did stand down. If there was no triumphalism over it, no point scoring, and they would promise that there'd be no point scoring, then it might be easier to accept.
OK, and by the way, just to emphasise again, I've done it already, but because I want to be as fair as I can be this morning, what I was trying to say earlier today was that after Sinn Féin knew about the overspend of RHI, they continued to work in government with the DUP. I got muddled up this morning and said they knew about it before Fresh Start. They didn't. Fresh Start was November 2015. It was after that that Sinn Féin found out about the amount of overspend. So my apologies for that. Jerry, thank you. Jim Wilson calling us today, 0330 80 55 55. How's this demand from Sinn Féin, Jim, going down in the unionist community?
Well, Stephen, I listened this morning, and I think I've been one of your listeners for a long, long way. And sometimes listening to Sinn Féin, the hypocrisy and the double standards, because the phraseology that's been used in your programme thousands of times by Sinn Féin was respect our mandate. Now, if you go back and you look into your programme, you'll find that that's been used by Sinn Féin on thousands of times in the course of when you've been interviewing them. Where's the respect to the unionist mandate when they are trying to dictate to our people who should be our elected representatives, who should be our elected...
Well, no, they're not. No, they're not. Well, so they're trying to dictate the leader or who should your elected representative should be, but they are trying to dictate that Arlene Foster is currently unsuitable.
What is the difference, Stephen, in the sense? Because it's one post, and they're trying to dictate to it. Look, see, when you take what unionism had to do, and people, and I understand where nationalism is coming from about respect, and I understand that there are problems in and around people saying that they're not being shown respect and all that there. I know within the loyalist community we have probably taken a lot more strides towards the conflict and ending the conflict and respecting each other through this here than probably unionism has. But the problem around this is, and Sinn Féin need to realise this, our people went into government with people who were there, who were involved in the killing of their friends and their families and people like that there. So Sinn Féin need to understand that our people have had to swallow a large pill over the years as much as anything else. I do believe that they're entitled to be shown respect, they're entitled to be shown dignity in anything that they do, but it's not a one-way street, it's a two-way street. They need to start pulling back from where they are at the minute and dictating to unionism. And your first caller this morning was very, very avid and right. Loyalism is not happy with Sinn Féin dictating to anybody within unionism what should be their position. So it is not a good thing.
Do you not think there are many people within loyalism equally as furious at the DUP about the RHI overspend?
But Stephen, absolutely. But the point about it is, nothing has been proven. The need, you know, in this here, you know, people are trying to make someone guilty before a judicial inquiry. As far as I'm concerned, if a judicial inquiry comes out and things are proven, then the people have to take the action within those parties if people are responsible for mismanagement and whatever. So why do you prove someone guilty before the fact, before the actual the commission of what's been set up? So why would you ask someone? That's like saying to me, Jim, stop you doing your community work until we look into this and that and the other. Well, something I would probably say to you, Steve, I haven't done anything wrong. And if I haven't done anything wrong, why should I do anything that's detrimental to me?
So what signal does this send to the loyalist community from Sinn Féin? What signal are they sending to you?
Well, it's coming from my perspective. I think they're trying to manipulate dictatorship. Now that people feel that the unionist majority has gone, which I don't believe in that sense, because I do believe that within the 8 alliance seats, there's a lot of unionist voters there. They may be alliance, they may not be deemed as unionist, but they live in a unionist family and they would probably come from a unionist tradition. But in the level peg in that, we need to show each other respect. And that's where the word is that Sinn Féin have used for a long, long way, the word respect. Where's the respect to the unionist community when they're constantly trying to do this? And make no bones about it. It's been difficult for those people within unionism, and no more difficult than what it is for people within loyalism to sit and engage with senior acts Republicans and people who we know in the conflict were up to no good. Like loyalism was as well. That's not an excuse. But the point about it is we need to try and move on and work this agreement better than what's being worked.
I'm just trying to think. If we think this through, let's clear all the noise out of this, right? And think of some of the implications of this. So that inquiry, that public inquiry, could continue on into 2018, right? We could easily last a year, that public inquiry. So it is Sinn Féin's position that Arlene Foster cannot be the First Minister or joint first minister or whatever it's going to be in this country, for the period of time that the inquiry lasts. So that could be a year.
Yes, Stephen,
saying that. There are no allegations of wrongdoing proven against Arlene Foster. So she would be stepping aside based on unquoted allegations. We don't even know what the allegations are. She would be stepping aside despite having more votes than in her party than Sinn Féin. Meanwhile, I'm being reminded this morning that Sinn Féin were accused in a 2015 security assessment of being controlled by the IRA Army Council. Did anybody step aside from Sinn Féin when that accusation happened?
And Stephen, they didn't step aside whenever a government minister was proved to be...
They did say there was a wholly political focus when that security assessment happened. But the point is, the DUP did not insist that they stood aside.
But that's a hypocrisy, Stephen, I'm trying to make you around what's going on. You know, would someone like to go to jail before they've been sentenced? I don't think so. You wouldn't put someone in jail before they're sentenced.
But it is an indisputable fact that Arlene Foster, this is the counter again, it's an indisputable fact that Arlene Foster was the minister in charge, therefore ultimately responsible of a scheme that didn't have a cost control.
Yes, and if it's proven that she had done things wrong, or the leader of Sinn Féin, or anyone, as a matter of fact, that's involved in that, well, then appropriate action needs to be taken against them within their party.
Final question. You can hear from some of the DUP interviews over recent days that they are introducing at least the prospect that if it's Arlene's decision to step aside, that they will certainly discuss it as a party. In other words, they'll consider it. Now, they're saying it would be Arlene's decision to make. Do you support them even contemplating that?
If Arlene Foster decides that she thinks that is the best thing to do, to up and set the government, in her eyes, not to pressure from Sinn Féin, and it's going to be very, very difficult to decide to work it out if it was pressure from Sinn Féin or she thought it was the right thing to do. If she does it because she thinks it's the right thing to do, then I have no problem in accepting that. But under pressure from Sinn Féin or under pressure from anyone else who, you know, with the greatest respect, you know, Sinn Féin have a cheek that, you know, whenever they have asked for respect their mandate, constantly, more times than any political party in this country, they need to show respect to the unionist tradition as well when it comes down to this.
Okay, Jim, thank you. 0330 80 55 55. Jerry and Derry. Morning, Jerry.
Morning, Stephen.
This is huge this morning, the reaction there is to this. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, it might well be, but the serious idea that Sinn Féin are dictating, they're not. They're merely stating that if Arlene Foster is nominated as First Minister, then they won't nominate. And they're quite perfectly entitled not to nominate. It's their decision whether or not they nominate for the position or not.
So do they want devolution? Does Sinn Féin want to be... would they prefer direct rule?
I wouldn't think it would want any British involvement in the affairs of Ireland, full stop. And maybe this election has proven that there is an argument for a border poll because unionism has dropped to about 44% of the elected representatives. So, I mean, let's take the wider issue. Sinn Féin are entitled not to nominate. And we should now, I think, be having a border poll to end British involvement in Ireland once and for all. Because
Jerry,
It's been bad for Ireland. It's been bad for the people here in the north.
But look, there will be some people who do not believe in devolution, okay, and feel that there will be some people who feel that at this moment in time, direct rule is a better option. Jim Allister would be a case in point, right? Hold on a second, right?
But if they want to bring in direct rule, let direct rule ministers put their names forward in an election here and get elected to have the right, which they've never done.
Let's follow that logic for a second, Jerry, right? So you basically say the mandate gives an individual a strength, a political mandate, okay?
Yes.
You support, do you think Sinn Féin, do you think Arlene Foster should work as First Minister with their Sinn Féin equivalent?
I think Arlene Foster has to make her own decisions on those type of issues.
But if she does make it, but if she does make a decision to be in that office, Sinn Féin aren't going to work with her.
Sinn Féin are perfectly entitled to decide not to work with her.
Wasn't it Sinn Féin's constant line during the election, the people will have their say? The unionist people have had their say and have voted the DUP is the biggest unionist party in Northern Ireland.
And Sinn Féin went to the polls and very clearly stated that they would not go back into government with Arlene Foster until the inquiry was held.
Correct.
And they got a massive, massive mandate.
But the DUP's mandate was bigger.
Yeah.
The DUP have more seats than Sinn Féin.
Okay. But
so who prevails? The party with the bigger seat, the more seats?
No,
or the party with the fewer seats?
Take
who
the
prevails?
Parties, take the parties and take the mandates together and you'll find that the majority do not support Arlene going back into the First Minister's post until after the inquiry. Not just Sinn Féin. We're not just talking about Sinn Féin. We're talking about other parties as well who have stated the same.
But why? So
Colm Eastwood made the same.
Correct, he did.
On the Sunday
so
Politics.
That's correct. Show. So let's clear out the noise, Gerry, again, right?
Yeah, let's clear out the noise.
Right, so what proven... Hold on a minute, let me ask the question. Hold on. So what proven... proven fact is there against Arlene Foster so that Sinn Féin are right in saying they can't work with her in the office of First Minister?
Well, I'll tell you the proven fact. £85,000 today, yesterday, tomorrow is being wasted under her watch. She introduced the scheme, and until all the issues around that waste of £85,000 per day is sorted, then she's not the right person to be in that office.
Some of that money's going to legitimate businesses, of course. The £85,000 that we talk about, some of that is going to legitimate business and some of it is not. The DP would say they have put
The inquiry will prove whether it's going to be legitimate businesses and where they are wasting the money by keeping 24/7 burners going.
If the DUP stand their ground and say, well, do you know what, with your ultimatum, Sinn Féin, stuff it. You know, you're not going to tell us what to do.
Sinn Féin are not telling them what to do. Sinn Féin are pointing out what they're going to do.
And if the result of that is direct rule, okay.
Well, it might be joint authority, Stephen.
Okay.
Because the Irish government are part guarantees of the Good Friday Agreement as well and will have a role to play in any future of
the
island.
And of course, you're entitled to your view, but if it is direct rule, okay, then are you ready for Tory austerity? Is that going to happen? Are you ready for full welfare reform? Is that going to happen? Would water rates be imposed in Northern Ireland? These are questions I don't know the answer to.
No, neither do I. But I do know that Sinn Féin have a massive mandate and that unionism is no longer the Protestant state for a Protestant people.
Who has more seats in Northern Ireland? The DUP or Sinn Féin?
The DUP have more than Sinn Féin.
Right.
But unionism has not got more than nationalism, which is the other issue.
Gerry, thank you. Glenn next. Morning, Glenn.
Stephen.
This is going mad this morning on the phones. Go ahead, Glenn.
I'd just like to make a point. In the recent election, Sinn Féin stood on a ticket of equality, integrity and respect. I would just like to remind voters that since 1983, when Gerry Adams was first elected in West Belfast, they have never shown respect, equality or integrity to the voters who didn't vote for Sinn Féin because they've refused to take their seats in West Belfast. So once again, and all their constituency subsequently. So what we have here is Sinn Féin going on the radio and on television demanding that respect be shown to their community, yet they disrespect everybody else who doesn't stand with the Sinn Féin point of view. And this is taken on from 1983. Again, that...
Well, they would deny disrespecting everybody else, wouldn't they?
Well, it is disrespect, Stephen. That's cut to the chase. If they get elected and they refuse to take their seat in Parliament, to give full representation to the people of that.
They stand on that ticket. People know exactly what they're voting for when they vote for Sinn Féin.
Yeah, they stand on an abstentionist ticket. But where's the respect then for the people who vote, who want people to go over to Westminster? And how come it's Westminster that they won't go to? They stand in every other forum for the EU. They stand in the Dáil. They stand in local and Stormont. Yet of all, the only place that they refuse to show any equality, respect, or integrity is in Westminster.
Your language.
At the end of the day, they either are respectful, or do take equality serious and show integrity, or they don't.
Okay,
it's quite obviously that they don't.
Glenn, thank you, George in the Shankill. Morning, George.
Morning, Stephen. Just let me say, I mean, we've been hearing that it wasn't about the union before. I put my point for all before the election. I think you hear Gerry from Londonderry this morning and other Republican noises coming out of it that obviously was about the union as well. But also let me nail this thing about the biggest scandal, financial scandal in this country since the state was formed. It wasn't the biggest scandal in this state. It's still ongoing. It's been ongoing for 20 years, and that's criminal alien fuel smuggling in South Armagh. And Gerry Adams talks about respect and integrity. A South Armagh Republican was convicted in the south of Ireland through tax avoidance, the same as Al Capone. And when asked about it, Gerry Adams told us he was a good Republican. So put that to bed, that it's the biggest scandal in the history of the state. It's not. The biggest scandal is still ongoing. But my point this morning would be, Arlene Foster, if she was to step aside, would be entirely her own decision, because she was voted in there as first minister and leader of unionism. But maybe if Sinn Féin is serious, I don't think they are, but if Sinn Féin is genuine about getting the institutions up and running, how about Sinn Féin coming forward with a proposal that they won't nominate their leader as deputy first minister either until the RHI scandal is said? Then both could put forward an interim first and deputy.
Why would they do that?
Why would unionism do it with Arlene? You know, Sinn Féin is
because Sinn Féin are saying there's not going to be devolved government in Northern Ireland if Arlene Foster does not bow to their command.
Yes, absolutely. And they're telling us that they're genuine about getting the institutions up and running. I don't think they are, personally, because I think the bigger picture here is Brexit and Article 50. And again, what they've done from the IRA started bombing the heart out of this country. Again,
bow to their demand. I'm just thinking through my brain here. That's probably pejorative language for me, isn't it? They are certainly saying, Sinn Féin used the word demand. That's fair for me to say. And Sinn Féin are saying they will not go into government with Arlene Foster while the public inquiry is continuing. To be fair to them, they said that before the election, and they have had a very good election.
Yes, as did Arlene Foster with an increased mandate.
Well, the DP lost 10 seats.
Yes, absolutely. There were seats going to be lost, and Republicans got their vote out. I'm not on trying to dispute that, but you cannot dispute that the DUP vote went up in every constituency. So therefore, she's back with an increased mandate as well, albeit fewer seats, because Sinn Féin happened to get their election machine into gear far better than unionism did at this election. Hopefully that will be returned back to unionism in future elections. But the fact doesn't remain. She's the leader of unionism with an increased mandate, and a minority party, which is what they are to the DUP. A minority party is trying to dictate to the majority party. So therefore, if they are genuine and getting the institutions up and running, let's not forget there's two Sinn Féin ministers not implicated in the scandal, but mentioned as keeping the scandal open, keeping the RHI thing open, as was there an SDLP MLA. So there was. So if they are serious about it, let them come forward with a proposal that
the only person who had the ultimate power, whether to close or open that scheme, was actually Jonathan Bell. He was the minister in charge. So we're not going to get diverted into that. Do you feel your unionism is being threatened by this?
No, my unionism is not being threatened. This election, certainly Sinn Féin and nationalism has the upper hand. So, but I mean, you hear Gerry from Londonderry there on, and you hear other Republicans and commentators on over the last few days. If you sort of look at the vote, I think I was listening to Radio 4 the other night. I was also listening to your show on 5.11. The combined SDLP and Sinn Féin vote was 39%. So it's hardly a thing that's going to threaten the union at this time. So it is, you know, you have to factor in that would that 39% even vote for a United Ireland if it did go for a border poll? So my unionism is not threatened. What is threatened is my democratic right if I put forward a vote and I got Arlene Foster, as she is the leader of unionism, along with many, many thousands of other unionists, put her in as First Minister, put her in with a mandate to go and lead this country, and somebody's going to come and tell me that that mandate's no good. Their demands override my demands, although I got the bigger vote.
George, thank you. 0330 80 55 55. We are asking the DUP this morning if they want to respond to these hundreds of calls we're getting today on this. Alex in Lisburn. Morning, Alex.
Morning. No, I'm just listening, but if we cast our minds back to December, the pressure was on Arlene Foster and she stood her ground. She wouldn't back down. She wouldn't give in. And the same people are ringing up now saying she's standing her ground. No doubt it rang up at the end too. And where's unionism now? For the first time in nearly 100 years since the formation of Northern Ireland, we no longer have a majority in Stormont. And we're in the same position again. I don't actually think that Sinn Féin want devolution, but I don't think they want to get the blame for not having it. And they're trying to pin the blame. They're going to put the blame on Ireland. And I have no doubt that the last thing Jerry Allen wants is for Ireland to walk off into the sunset, because she got the vote out for them the last time, and she's going to bring about direct rule for a while. They'll get the Irish Language Act. They'll get stuff come through from the UK.
But again, the DUP put down a red line to Sinn Féin. Arlene Foster has said that the Irish Language Act will not happen under her watch. She backed herself into a corner on that.
Well, that's the problem. And we're backing ourselves into the corner to protect Arlene Foster. I mean, if David Trimble, when he was in charge, had went into an election and come out of an election not being without able to command the majority in the Assembly, of units in the Assembly, Arlene Foster and Geoffrey Donaldson and Nigel Dodd and Sammy Wilson would have been calling for his head. They'd have been calling for his head. The hypocrisy now we're seeing is incredible. Arlene Foster, she shouldn't have had, I mean, we shouldn't have had the election in the first place. Peter Robinson, I don't believe Peter Robinson, in the same set of circumstances, he stood aside twice. And Arlene Foster covered for him. So she has no more objection to the First Minister stepping aside.
You're also unionist.
I am, yes.
Aren't you? Where's your party now?
Well, we had a bad election. The tribal drum was banged, and people were saying to us, we'd like to vote for you, but we have to vote for the DUP to keep the Emmons out.
Right, Alex, thank you very much. Morning to you. Here's the number today, 0330 80 55 55. We're clearing the decks this morning. This is a huge issue. We've touched a nerve here today, and many different opinions coming in. Should the DUP accept Sinn Féin's demand in order to bring back devolution to Northern Ireland?